Good morning, Carborough in Chapel Hill. This is Wilkes Wake Up Call. We come to you every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, bringing you the important and significant issues of the day and of the community. WILF stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I'm your host, Lori Hoyt, and Dick Paddock is our intrepid engineer. And we're very pleased to have a guest today that known for a long time and is now a Carborough Alderman, Sammy Slade. And he is going to be telling us about a very exciting project that Chapel Hill and Carborough are working on, Transition Carborough Chapel Hill. And they're having a big kickoff tomorrow, which we'll tell you more about, but it's called Come to the Great Unleashing of Transition Carborough Chapel Hill, tomorrow, Saturday. So, Sammy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're glad you're here. And, you know, I heard about this some months ago, but I didn't quite know what it was and got doing other things. And now that I'm finding out more about it, I'm finding it so exciting. And with all the gloom and doom things we sometimes have to confront and work on, this is such a positive way for this community to come together to work towards some very positive, creative solutions to the challenges. So tell us more about it and how long you've been working on it.
Okay, great. Well, the Transition Carborough and Chapel Hill group has been working for the past about year. Already, let me just take a step back and just like come from the perspective of who we are as a town. Because, and then perhaps we could go into the context of what and why transition is happening, and then what we'll be doing from here on out as we share with the community the efforts and work that the transition group has been doing. So for one, as everyone knows, Carborough is a really positive place with a lot of local, very positive initiatives already happening through all sectors of the economy. So we could think of the food sector and the farmers market and all the activity that happens there, on Wednesdays and Saturdays, which is really amazing. And then we have all kinds of community gardenings happening throughout the town. And then you think of the health sector and all the yoga and all the alternative medicine that we have. So we have an incredible community. And then there are local economy initiatives. We have actually a couple of them with the Walk Carborough and now the Local Motive, which is a group of businesses. And they are very much modeled after this national alliance called the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. Kind of focusing on further establishing and supporting local businesses, recognizing all the positive benefits for the community that these businesses have. And then, of course, like we have very good transportation initiatives, a free bus system.
Yes.
And a bunch of sidewalks in Carborough that are being built. And this coming month, there's a walk to work, all kinds of events related to that. There'll be a bike breakfast. Actually, you could go to the town website to find out the exact time. So that will be at the parking lot next to the Open Eye Cafe. So my point is that already in our community, we're very fortunate to have so much happening, which is really positive. So what the Unleashing the Transition Town initiative is trying to do isn't to reinvent the wheel, but rather recognize and invite all the initiatives, organizations, and people that are currently working to make a positive future for Carborough and the world, to come out tomorrow at the Century Center starting at 10 to come together and envision the future for Carborough that we are already building but need to get to and build together so that we can deal with so many of the pressing issues. So maybe now I should go into kind of the context of where we are globally, that kind of drive the transitions initiatives throughout the world. So transition initiatives are pretty much driven by like peak oil and climate change and many other of the issues that we are facing in these times. we have a big economic collapse happening. We have the oil leak in the Gulf and the mining disaster, coal mining disaster that happened. And so these are fossil fuel related issues, partly related to our kind of scramble to find more cheap energy. About 2 months ago, Le Monde Diplomatique in France, it was kind of not reported in the U.S., reporting that the Department of Energy is describing 2012 as being the point where liquid fossil fuels will be declining. So this is our establishment stating or recognizing peak oil. So it's a very serious matter when you consider how much of our economy depends on cheap fossil fuels and cheap energy. Mm-hmm. When you think of it, all our transportation is in the way that we've set up our homes and our shopping. It's all dependent on cars. And then food, we essentially figured out a way in which to translate oil into food. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big call to figure out ways in which to localize and make things more sustainable. And then climate change, of course, is the big issue that's happening globally. We're currently in a historical drought here locally. It hasn't rained. We're in the middle of April. It hasn't rained except for like maybe once. I heard one figure saying it's like we haven't seen something like this in like 100 years of drought here for April. So, and then
really, I knew that April was bad, but
and then we had all those floods in Tennessee. So that was all the water we normally get. It just kind of hit the Appalachian Mountains and rained over there.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize about climate change. It's not just all that we're all getting hotter and hotter. It's the instability of the weather systems that are now awry, where they're getting too much in one place and none in another place that has expected it.
So that was one of the misnomers of the issue, is like it's not global warming, it's climate change. And just like radical fluctuations between. So like, for example, the big cold snowy winter we had was pointed to as being climate change isn't here yet.
Exactly.
Overall, globally, it was one of the hotter years still.
Yes.
Amongst the latest record-breaking years throughout the globe. So politically speaking, there isn't much activity. I mean, we hear about proposals, like just 2 days ago the federal government and the Carrie Lieberman bill proposing a very weak bill when you consider how far the scientific consensus is saying we must go. So in this bill, they're talking about a very weak amount of reduction. They're talking about essentially a 3% reduction of 1990 levels by 2020, when the scientific consensus is describing a 40% level of 1990 levels by 2020. So we're very far short. And if we were to solely depend on higher scales of governance, then we would never get there. Which is why, another reason why taking it into our own hands as a community through initiatives such as this transition movement is so essential, is we can't wait for other scales of governance to do it. It's for us to do, and that's what Transition Towns is about. The other things that this climate bill is going to do is, for example, gutting the Clean Air Act, which actually currently can regulate and deal with climate change. It's just a big threat to the entrenched industries, because it can be so effective. So they're really wanting to gut it.
And that's the worst part of the bill. I think it's so upsetting.
Yes, it's outrageous. And then they also want to ban the ability of local state and local governments to deal with climate change, which is totally outrageous. This is exactly where the solutions are currently happening. All the towns throughout the U.S., the cities that have taken climate change initiatives during the Bush era, when there was no movement on it, and this bill is actually seeking to do away with that. And then, of course, it's supporting increasing oil and offshore drilling, which is absolutely outrageous. When we have this current leak, that's just, some people are estimating Exxon Valdez every 4 days at its possible worst. So that's really terrible. And then, of course, there's the cry for the seemingly better alternative, which is for nuclear energy. And fortunately, knock on wood, we've had disasters with coal and oil, and hopefully we won't have one to remind us about how bad nuclear can be. So that's all the doom and gloom. That's kind of underlying the reason why so many communities throughout the world and now Carrboro are taking it upon themselves to come together as a community and find these solutions. And one of the best parts about it is that you don't even have to acknowledge peak oil, climate change, all these other things, because, I mean, you should. There's an urgency to this. And even though there's so much going on in Carrboro, there's way much more we must do. So it's important to keep in mind what's driving this. But it's also important to not be paralyzed by how big a task and daunting it is. And so that's why the transition model is so great, because it's a positive way in which we can reacquire so many of the things we've lost, such as our community connections, the sense of community in our neighborhoods, knowing who our neighbors are, getting back to knowing how food gets produced, just general medical and compassion for one another. So that these are the great things that are a consequence of needing to deal with the issue.
Yeah, well, this is a great background to help us understand, boy, what is the big motivator. But instead of arguing about these things, and some people say this or that about climate change, this is such a positive thing. Let's get together as a community and see what we can do to make this community as strong and sustainable as possible. So was there any book or particular thing about that got this started here? I understand. Oh, wait a minute. It started in Ireland?
Yes. Yeah, so Rob Hopkins is kind of the person of the international movement who started this. I'm not exactly sure. It was, I think, around 2005 in Kinsale, Ireland. He had attempted with some students of his in a permaculture class to come up with a comprehensive plan for their small community in Kinsale, Ireland, to deal with the issues of peak oil and climate change. So they developed what they called an energy descent action plan with year-by-year steps to accomplish an ultimate goal by a day it's certain. And it was great. They had a lot of great ideas, but in the process, he realized the importance of having there be a buy-in by the community and the need for a larger process that's inviting for people to really have an investment in what the plan is, so that the plan can have legs and live and be a living document as the process to be less energy intensive progressed. So what that has translated it to is Rob Hopkins ended up going to Totnes in England and attempting the first transition initiative, and they developed this whole program step by step and come out with a few books, one of them being the Transition Handbook, From Oil Dependency to Local Resilience, okay, which is a great guide for all communities that are seeking transition initiatives to use as a guide to how to do it.
And it just seems like from what I'm reading here that this idea caught fire immediately. I think so many people are realizing the challenges that we're facing, and we're so jumped on some way to do something positive about it instead of just waiting for the federal government or the state. That what can we do? And this is a guide to something you can do.
Yeah, it's something people understand and want to be engaged with. It's because it's positive and it can be very effective. So it started in England, and there are so many towns now in England that are doing transition initiatives, and then it jumped over to Australia, and places all over the world are now trying it. And here in North Carolina, the
Italy,
local ones,
Chile?
Yeah, the local ones, one of the first along, I think Asheville's done it, and there's interest in Burlington, Chatham County's got an interest. And this is all just within the past year. So there's a lot happening already here in our state, which is very encouraging. So here locally, it started about a year ago, The person who put the call out is Margaret Crome Lukens, who's the farm manager at the Pickard's Martin Pickard's Farm out at Tim Tobin's land.
At where?
Tim Tobin's property. And she put a call out to all people and organizations, letting them know about her interest in starting an initiative here. And there are a few initial meetings where a lot of people came, a lot of interest was there. And then over time, that group kind of, there was a core group that mm-hmm. kind of has now been really active at working and creating the event tomorrow. And I was part of that group, but I've been involved now in local government and stuff. I'm so encouraged and happy about and seeing that there's this core group of people who have been so motivated and are doing so much work, and tomorrow's event's going to be really, really amazing. So please, I encourage everyone who's listening to this show today to come out.
It's not too late to come.
It's not too late to come, for sure. And even if for some reason you aren't able to come to tomorrow's event, please tune into what we're doing, because this is the initial step. There are other steps that will follow this event tomorrow. For example, the next step is to create sector groups that are dealing with, for example, food or energy issues. Mm-hmm. And so we will have follow-up sessions and invite people who have interest in those various topics to come. And then we will work on the local plans for how to get things happening.
This is so exciting. We're going to take a little break here and just let you know that this is Wilp's wake-up call. And I forgot to tell you at the beginning, please have your pen or pencil and paper ready, because we always give you a website or an email address, some way that you can continue to get more information about whatever topic we're talking about that you're particularly interested in. We are on WCOM FM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and we do have an underwriter. And it will surprise you who our underwriter is, because they are very progressive politically and they're wonderful. Internationalist Bookstore on 405 West Franklin Street. And you can go to internationalistbooks.org to get more information. But I'll tell you, they're not just a wonderful, small, local bookstore that has books that you cannot get in the big box stores, but they're also a community resource place. You can go and find out a lot of things that are happening in this community. And I bet that there's going to be a flyer there about transition Carrboro and Chapel Hill. And as our guest, who is Sammy Slade, just told you, that they're having their big opening to the community to learn more about this, called The Great Unleashing. And it's going to be at the Carrboro Century Center in downtown Carrboro, starting at 10 o'clock. It goes to 5. But from what I understand, those who can't stay for the whole time, come and stay for what you can, learn what you can. And it's free and open to the public. And we're hoping to have this be a wonderful opportunity for those of us who have not really known a lot about this to learn a lot more and maybe get on board and be part of it. So again, this is very exciting. And it's so, remember that saying of Margaret Mead, that it only takes a small group of committed people. That's what it always takes.
Yes.
To make, real positive change. And here this class in small group in Kinsale, Ireland, got this thing started, and it has spread like wildfire, because I think we're all hungry and looking for a way to make some sense of the terrible things that are happening in this poor old world. And it's now 275 communities at least that have signed on, mm-hmm. all over the world, mm-hmm. and now in this country. And we're in the forefront here in Carrboro.
Yeah, once again.
So There, I can't read this. Can you read the website for people?
Yeah, so the if you want more information about the local transition initiative, you can go to transitionCCH.org, standing for Carborough and Chapel Hill. And you can find all kinds of information and links to the national site and the international site there, but also information about upcoming events and the program tomorrow. Maybe I could go down the program real quick.
That would be wonderful, so people know what to look for.
Yeah, so tomorrow it starts. It's at the Century Center, and it'll be from 10 to about 5 with a party thereafter.
Ooh. A party
at the Carborough Raw and at the Century Center itself, and so that should be fun too, because the other thing about this is it's supposed to be positive, and it's supposed to be celebratory.
Yes.
Celebratory of what we already have, because if it were just solely doom and gloom, it wouldn't be sustainable for us as people.
That's right, we'd burn out right away.
Yeah, so that's the other trick. We want to make it be happy, you know, and recognize the positive things that we already have happening for us.
And give us that energy to do the work, but also to get us together, because there's nothing that synergy of energy when people are working together on something.
Yeah, it's amazing the energy that can be generated from those kinds of engagements. So let me go down real briefly. So from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll be gathering and networking. There'll be a welcoming and announcements. And then from 11 to 11:30, there'll be an introduction to what is called an open space process, which is I'll just go through the schedule, and then we can maybe talk a little bit about what open space is.
Yeah.
And so the facilitators will describe that process, and pretty much from 11 to 1, there'll be two sessions of open space process, and then a free lunch from 1 to 2. Vimla is we'll be cooking some food. And,
oh, wonderful. And maybe we should tell people, because there is a free lunch, it might be a good idea to RSVP.
Yeah, you can RSVP through the website. Of course, we are asking for a small donation just to support, you know, Vimla and the organization.
Right. So to RSVP, especially just so we have enough of lunch for everybody, is www.transitionCCH.org. And you know the CCH is Carborough Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So transitionCCH.org. And do RSVP. That'll help us have all plenty of food for lunch, because Vimla makes great food.
By the way, Vimla's opening up her restaurant.
Yes.
And very soon, in what used to be the old sandwich shop at the
courtyard.
So I'm not sure what the exact date is when she'll open, but keep that in mind.
It said later this month is what the Independent said.
And okay.
Yes, it's going to be very exciting for all of us who love her wonderful food.
Mm-hmm. So lunch, 1 to 2, and then 1:30 to 2, we'll have a keynote address by Dr. Norm Christensen, who is the co-founder of the Nicholas School of Environment at Duke University.
Okay.
And then we will have two more sessions, open space sessions, visioning sessions, essentially, for how we see the future for Carborough. And then we'll have from 3:30 to 4:30 some action steps from these working groups. And then from 4:30 to 5, we'll have a quick report and a conclusion and the thank you and the follow-up. And then 5 to 8, we'll be partying.
Okay. Well, what a wonderful day is being planned, and I hope our listeners really get excited about this, and that more people come. Have you had a good turnout so far about people coming?
Yeah, so far RSVPs is around 70 people, which is
great.
Pretty good, but we expect there to be a lot of people who haven't necessarily RSVP'd
who will show up.
So
mm-hmm.
Please tell everyone you know about this if you're listening to this program right now.
Yeah.
It's a really positive and key event that everyone in the community should be a part of. Let me go quickly into the open space, just
yes,
real briefly.
That would be good.
so the, this way of a meeting is kind of a self-organizing way of meeting, and what you basically do, and you can have this form of meeting work for like 5 to 1,000 people. But real briefly, you just basically make the invitation for all those who are at the meeting to come to a bulletin board and post an issue, and you have some time slots, and so they put the issue up of what is of their passion, and put it up with a in a time slot, and then after all these issues.
What do you mean by a time slot? Like,
we'll have some time slots for the there will be 4 sessions.
Oh, okay.
And so you with the topic of your interest.
Tomorrow.
Yes, this mm-hmm. is during tomorrow's event. This is how we'll engage and kind mm-hmm. of have the collective intelligence of the community.
I see.
How we'll capture it for envisioning this positive future.
Okay.
For our community. And so all these ideas are posted on this common bulletin board with times for during our event tomorrow to meet. And so after all these ideas are posted, we then get up and meet at the various locations where these topics will be discussed.
I see.
And there'll be an hour or so of discussing that. And it's basically, the idea is to facilitate the community itself to generate these ideas.
Okay, so if your particular passion is food, or if it's health, or mm-hmm. or you know, transportation, whatever, then you can go and talk more and give your ideas on the particular issue, specific issue, that you're most passionate about.
And you'll be the kind of the convener of it. The ideal convener is someone who's, it's described as someone who's fully present yet totally invisible. The idea being that those who come to that convened topic already have a passion too, and you just want to facilitate the group's wisdom, you know, to come up and envision this future for Carbro.
Okay, so you don't feel that it's not good for that person to come and dominate, but to learn, but to be a listener.
Yeah, is to be what a listener. Yeah, kind of facilitate.
So other people get their courage to speak up mm-hmm. and give their ideas.
Which is kind of a microcosm of what the Transition Initiative itself is, where we want the community itself to be the ones who are coming up with the solutions.
Yeah, and it's so much more of a ideal of democracy, you know, that we don't have these big leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But that we facilitate and make these spaces for people to come and give their wisdom and their ideas and their work to do this. We have just a couple more minutes, so is there anything you want to say to wrap up, Sammy? This has been so interesting.
Well, thank you so much for, I should say, having us, because I'm just representing the group and hopefully the community at large as so many people come out tomorrow. So that's the main message I'd like to share, is please come out tomorrow and help us create that positive future, continue creating, and more significantly, to the degree required, because unfortunately we do have all these drives that are pushing us to do as much as we can. So come out tomorrow and let's create that positive future for Carbro.
And I think, as you said at the beginning, people are already doing some of this. I mean, the flourishing of community gardens has been so heartening.
Yeah.
Both with the one for the homeless, Hope Gardens, the one out on North Greensboro Street there. It's just so exciting. Okay, Dick, this is Lori Hoyt, your host. And again, let me give you that www.transitioncch.org. And this is Wilp's 75th birthday year. I want to get that in. I forgot to get that in.
Hey, happy birthday.
Yeah, and so we'll be part of Transition as part of our celebrating of that. And you can find out more about us on trianglewilp.org. And with Wilp, don't forget the P for peace, trianglewilp.org. And we'll be back next Friday. But we hope to see a lot of our listeners there tomorrow at the Great Unleashing at the Carbro Century Center, starting at 10, ending at 5. Come for even part of it. You will be so welcome, and you will learn so much.